to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now, live on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Joe Dex here, producing as ever, and keep me right. Thanks, Donna Marie, for the news and the legendary Ivan Borden for the Power R Plus. Well, listen, huge show coming your way as ever this evening. Shortly, we're going to talk with Niamh Padraic manager Daniel McCauley as the side gets ready for an historic Ulster semi-final against Collegeland of Armagh. Then I'll talk with Barney Curran, and again, history beckons for the Downers ladies as they prepare for an Ulster junior final against Warren Point. I'll be joined then by a couple of the union's management team to look back at the season past there, 2024, and get their views on club football in Donegal currently. We'll then speak with Michael McMullen on the return of the band, the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Murphy. Of course, Rory Kavanagh's appointment to Glenn Mahara as well, very close to Mal's home place up there. He'll know all about it, know the vibe and the word on the street. That's all coming up on the show shortly, folks. It's been a busy few weeks out there, let me tell you.
Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't, but I do. Like this again, fools like me never win. Came to my knees again. Can't close the door on like you. Things might be just as good. I always believe they would. Gotta let your love invite me. Baby, do you think it might be? No, you don't, but I do.
Well, folks, that is past the point of rescue. That's how I'm feeling today. It's been a hectic few weeks out there. And if anybody's any advice on where to go and hide some weekend and do maybe a detox session, the way it's like 60, 25,000, I need somewhere to escape to. Listen, folks, we're going to keep the football conversation going here. We're going to speak now, as I say, with Daniel McCauley. Have we got Daniel on there, Joe? Daniel, are you hearing us?
I can hear you, Brendan, yeah.
Fair play to you, Daniel. How's things? So you're we were living similar lives up until we got dumped out of it by Ergal Kieran, like, but yous are still on the run, yous are still punching for Donegal and flying the flag. It's been I would say it's been an unbelievable couple of months for yous.
Oh, it's been absolutely brilliant, Brendan. All things considered, like, we've had our ballers this year and our troubles and tragedies, but this last few weeks have been absolutely brilliant, you know.
Yeah, it's been an emotional time for the club, of course, Daniel, and listen, amazing tribute in the county final as well, and just, I suppose, such an emotional setting to the game. But, you know, your lads and everybody involved with the club must have been so proud of everyone that put their effort in that day and what it meant to everyone involved in the Muff Club.
Oh, definitely, Brendan. Believe it or not, I actually took the pressure off us, Brendan, because the boys realised there was so much more to life than football. So they went out and just done their best for Evan and on the day, and it was a brilliant tribute from start to finish, you know, and with a great result.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. You know, really impressed with you that day, Daniel. You know, myself and Park were covering the game, and just, you know, your fitness and your the way the team was shaped and set up, there was just such a real confidence about you. And you know, the way even your zones were set up in the pitch, you know, it was real. You really commanded the match. Just the season that led into it, because there are a lot of question marks about league football here, but certainly you operating Division 2, some of the games that you won must have given you huge confidence going into the Junior Championship. You looked like a team that was playing a level below where the team was at.
Aye, definitely, Brendan. We treated the league very serious this year because we put a big effort in. We wanted to stay in Division 2. We didn't want to be one-hit wonders and go up and come straight back down. So we put a lot of effort in from the 20th of November. We started back last year, and Martin Mealy, give him his credit, he's the boys in fine physical shape. Like, you know, we put plans in for everybody, and we've quite a few away from home. So like, they get their workouts done, and they get to keep training when they're away from home. Then we come back at the weekends to us. And with Dougie on board there now too, we put all our heads together, and we got our shape set up perfect all year, Brendan. We had a great defensive record in the league. And I know people say, look, it's only league football, it's only league football. But no, we treated it very, very seriously because we knew the championship was down the line. And if we could get ourselves to a certain level of fitness and a level of performance come the championship, it would, it's not a step down, Grundy Junior A, but it would be easier to transition, you know?
Mm. And you mentioned Doogie there, Dan. I've noticed there, like, being in my unions this year, you know, initially there was three of us, and then Dalton Malloy would be a good friend of mine, and he wanted to come in and, you know, kind of learn and see what it was like on that side of things. I find that you look at all Ireland winners, for example, the way Armagh kept adding to their team, you know, but adding real quality. I think in the modern game, there's so much going on now, Daniel, in terms of structures and, you know, even day the nightly training and that, it seems like you can't have enough men in there. You know, I mean, obviously you want good men in there, but I'm just saying that type of help that you have in around you is very important. Those other points of view in the game, somebody seeing something else happening from your defence to your midfield, your attack to your kickouts.
Oh, definitely, Brendan. You can't have enough help, and whether it be training or match days, like, everybody has different opinion, and see, as long as you channel it right, it works perfectly. Like, you know, and Doogie's been a big help all year for his knowledge of Donegal football, second to none, you know, and Martin Milley's knowledge of SNC and fitness work is absolutely unbelievable. It's out of this world. His preparation's brilliant, you know, and when we put it all together, it's a really good team we have, you know.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Tell me, just on the SNC, and funny, it was for us, I think, it was a big thing I noticed with the likes of Dunlow when we played him in the final. And when I was checking, obviously you're doing homework on teams and that, they had a very solid couple of years of great S&C behind them. You know, I'm looking at the modern game, Daniel, the athletic side of things is way out in front in terms of, you know, footballers. You know, for me, that is by far number one. And I know, listen, skill and talent and all that are there. But certainly, if you ask me what's the biggest pointer to the top players out there, you know, we have a couple of boys playing for us there, and they could be in the Olympics, I think. they're so, you know what I mean? And they are the standout players then in the pitch. Is that what you're seeing out there too? I mean, you can have an odd, maybe skillful man in a certain place, but really, if you don't have that real powerful element to your game, you're not going to be able to contribute the way, you know, the other players are.
Brendan, you look at Keelan McColgan, the way he's grown over the last 3-4 years, you know, up with the county setups, the S&C, Kevin Lynch, Jonathan Toy, like, they put savage effort into their S&C programs, you know, and the power they have is something unreal, you know, and it's something that's come into the game now, and you have to go with it, you know, and it's really, really important. It's nearly more important what you do in the field now, because injury prevention is massive as well, and it's helped us massively this last 2 years, because Martin came back on board 2 years ago, and we had a plan to build the players up to a certain level, and it's we're reaping the rewards for it now at the moment.
Yes, indeed, you certainly are. Listen, you mentioned Keelan there. Obviously, Daniel, himself, and you mentioned Kevin Lynch as well there, both missing the last day in your victory over Congals. Before we get them, that thing of going on the Ulster, I suppose players so used to, you know, different teams, and, you know, you come up against different sides and you've basically played everywhere. What was that like, just against a different team now, Congals, and the different atmosphere that was at the game? Let's say you're missing the two of your main men up front as well. Obviously, Jonathan Toy had a brilliant game for you, has really stepped up as well with 5 points.
Yeah. It was strange, Brendan, because it was a case of the unknown for the club altogether, because it's our first ever venture on the Ulster as a club, like, so we didn't know what to expect, so we just let it down to the lads, but we're going to go and enjoy this and take it one game at a time and see where it comes. And we've done our homework in Congals, and I went down and watched the Antrim final, and I learned a bit about them, but you only learn so much just watching one game. It was a horrible day, but it was something that a totally different level of intensity, a different vibe. You don't know none of the players, you know, normally about Donegal, you know every player's name, but you didn't know who the danger men were coming off the bench and one thing or another. And then without Keelan and Kevin, well, Keelan played 20 minutes and he came off, you're down to your stars. Like, you know, that forward line would be a loss in a senior championship game, never mind a junior championship game. So, but the boys managed it well. The boys stepped up to the plate like they've been doing all year. When somebody steps out, somebody steps in, and that's just the way we treated it. Somebody's missing. Obviously, it's a big loss, but it's an opportunity for somebody else to put their stake or claim for a place, you know.
Mm. And you know, just noticed there that obviously, as you say, the background work, the video analysis, and all that has gone so high up in terms of team preparation. Listen, I would honestly, St Union's this year, we would have been better prepared than the Donegal teams I would have played with.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to Donegal. It's just the change in nature of preparation of teams has gone so high. Collegeland Armagh, Oma this Saturday. Tell me what's your read into their team and the season that they're having.
Hey, they're having a very good year, Brendan. They're a very fit side. Like, we're lucky enough. Micheál Cannon's a son who lives down Banbridge, and Micheál actually watched the Armagh final. He actually phoned me to see that I want him to go and watch it. We could meet them down the line. So he says, I should go on, I can do no harm. And he took a few notes, and the notes come on fairly valuable then when we went to watch the quarterfinal of Ulster, because he kind of had a name to some of the faces, you know, and then we were looking out for players. And they're a very fit, resilient team, Brian. The last two games, they've won in extra time. So it tells you a lot about their attitude. And they're your typical Armagh team. They never say day attitude. And they're against Dromore, they're down by 5 points. And they looked dead and buried, to be honest with you. But they came back out of the blue and they just seen the game out. And their forward line, like young Keelan McQuaid on the side, very, very dangerous. And there's Eddie Trainer, he's on the side as well. Like, two very, very good players you need to watch.
And tell me, obviously you played that first game, was it Letterkenny? This one now, you are going into, you know, the unknown in terms of heading out. I suppose it's about making it as normal as possible around your same match build-up. You are on a brilliant run. You are confident. You know, you're going up to Healy Park. There's something very special about that, going out to another county ground to represent Donegal as well as Niamh Patrick Gisquiskeen.
Oh, that's brilliant, Brendan. It's a great feeling. And the buzz the boys have chatting about it, like when we heard we were going to Healy Park. You go there as a youngster watching Donegal play, and they go in there now for my own personal level, managing your own home club and an Ulster semi-final. It's something I'm really, really proud of. Like, and I tell the boys to be proud of where they're at. They're representing their club, but they're representing their county as well. And like as you said earlier, we're the only one flying the flag now at the minute. So it's a great feeling, you know, for a small club like ourselves.
Yeah, magic. And tell me, how are you thinking then about these injuries? Is it are you going to wait to pre-game to call it? Is it kind of last minute kind of thing, or are you hoping the couple of lads will make the game?
We're waiting very last minute on Keelan and Kevin. Mm. Kevin would have played the last day, even though he had a foot in the boot. He had the gear away him, Brendan, believe it or not. That's the kind of young fella he is. And he said to me beforehand, you know, if you need me the day, sir, I'll take this boot off. He's a boot off now. He got it off the Monday after the Congles game. And he's touch and go. Ideally, you'd probably want another week, but we mightn't have the time to give him another week. And Keelan's not as bad as we first expected. He came off fairly early, and he's feeling good within himself. So at the minute, we'd be hopeful maybe getting 10 or 15 minutes out of him, but you never know this week, see how he gets through, you know.
Mm. Listen, I know it's very brave. I mean, so Kevin was playing with this injury throughout the season, was he?
He got a bang against Lufford. It was one of our own players actually collided with him. And he says it's just a pain in his foot, but the kind of young fella Kevin is, he's just a warrior, he's a workhorse, and he would never really tell you the truth. He kept saying to him, how are you? He said, that's grand, just a wee bit of a pain,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then just after the final, he told me, oh, Dan, I'm really, really sore, I need to get this looked at. And he actually was playing with three broken bones on the top of his foot.
Jeez.
So he got the, like, he's some young fella to go through that. You know, he went through basically the whole championship with few broken bones in his foot.
Yeah, because just looking at the two of them, they were that exciting that day. But with Lynch, is just complete power inside. I mean, there's very few people in the county with that type of ability. And then Keelan's just his pace and his ability. And all round the pitch, of course, great leader for you as well. So listen, we're hoping from the club perspective and personally for the two boys, and of course for you, the man at the helm, that everything comes into place. And the next time I'm talking to you, you're getting ready for an Ulster final.
Here's hoping, Brendan.
Good man yourself.
Thanks very much, Brendan.
We're rooting for you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, lad. Cheers, mate. Good luck.
Cheers, man. That's Daniel McCauley there, Muff. Niamh Patrick Muff heading for an Ulster semi-final with Collegeland Armagh in Oma this Saturday. Get and support them. It'd be fantastic to see them in a final. After the break, we're going to speak with Downing's manager, Barney Corn. Yes, folks, welcome back to the DL debate. I got to just mention, actually, the lip sync at Friday night. Dalton Loy's joined me in studio. Dalton, what's a crack, kid?
All good.
Good to see you. Hold on, I'll give you a mic. Hey, it's bad manners. Is that him on that one there? Talk to me now. Testing 1, 2, 1, 2.
1, 2, 3. How are we getting on?
Yeah, the lip sync was on. Listen, fantastic money raise for Unions GA and their Kenny music and drama group. That's part of the reason I played past the point of rescue, Dalton. I need rescued. Me and you need to go away on a retreat somewhere. I think, listen, the weekend there was a lot of football being played under 23 level in the ladies. Platinum winners St Unions over Airua, and at the goal level, Ardra were victors over Cairn Donagh. And the men's under 21 championship, Gidor beat Ardra. Glen Swilly beat McCools, and Dunloe beat Termon. We're at quarter final stage in that. Of course, Dunloe minor ladies are in Ulster semi final. Tony Boyle's team, the marching Donegal Dunloe ladies, they're on the up and up. They're in a semi final in 2 weeks' time. Now, in an Ulster junior final is the ladies of Downings, and I'm joined now by their manager, Barney Curran. Barney, what's the crack, kid?
How are you, Davey? How's life?
I'm not too bad, my man. You're one of the busiest men I know. Hey, how, you're involving Downings men, right? Coaching.
Yeah.
You're at ATU and you're doing Downings ladies. How does it work? Tell me, lad. How does it work?
You rob Peter to pay Paul a lot of the time. You rob Peter to pay Paul. And I suppose if you can half talk a good enough game, you can get away with this stuff.
I have an image of you in the Downings pitch, maybe one team and one half and another, and you coach down there and you go up the other side and then you put another drill on. Or...
Well, it was, we had a busy summer now, in fairness. Me and Maxie, I was involved with the ladies and the men, and Maxie was involved in the men. And between it all, as the man says, between the jigs and the reins, we kind of made it work a wee bit, you know. And we're still in it. Yeah. And we're still in the season.
Yes, indeed, lad. And tell me, Barney, of course it's always championship first. Had you a fair idea the girls could give Donegal a crack? And obviously that was first port of call. There wasn't a thought about anything after that.
No, it was the first. I met them in the middle of February. And I heard you mentioning Tony and Dunloe there. The minor girls done very well. Our girls were unlucky. They have met Dunloe probably once in a semi-final and once in a final. And Dunloe beat them twice in the championship, you know. So Dunloe beat them last year in the final, and they were really, really, really hungry to get out of the junior. So I was asked, and there was another man interested as well, Doy McGurdy. And so I says, why don't the two of us give it a rattle, Doy? And so I, the two of them, give them a go, and they started the second week in February.
Yeah. So listen, champions in, Barney, you're going on the Ulster, of course. It's very hard to gauge what's coming out of other counties. You know, you obviously at the different levels, you could have a team maybe on the build or someone dropped down or whatever. So it's such an unknown world. But listen, you're now in a final. And Warren Point, do you know much about them? Is it easy to get information on teams that get there to the other side of the province?
Well, that's, you know, you were chatting there and I was just thinking, like the first one we played was Butler Bridge, and you try and ring around whoever you know in Cavan trying to get a wee bit of snippet, you know. Yeah. And then the next ones we met then were the Coleraine outfit, and we probably had a few more up about that area. So we got a wee bit of information on them. You know, we knew they were a Camogie team and fit and strong. But this team, Warren Point, you get a bit of information, but you know yourself, everybody will give you their 2 cent worth, and you'll take all the information. But it's about, I'm a strong believer, and Brendan, if we work on ourselves 80-90% and we really drive home and drill home what we're doing well, and 20% on the other side, know what the opposition are bringing, know what they have, but really, really focus on yourself, you know, more so than anything. That's what we try and do, you know. Mm-hmm. It's always about the next game, no more than when you're playing. It's always the next ball. We're always going to the next game. It's only about the next game. Like, this is an Ulster final, surely to God, but it's, you know, it's just the next game too, you know.
Yeah, and tell me, see the overall picture, Bernie, just about the ladies and that wee bit of inspiring of the next generation. What's been the feeling in Downings around the success of the team and that? And, you know, obviously it's a GA mad area and that, but are you seeing the effect dripping down to the younger girls?
Oh, big time. Like, you know, we've got our age range, I would say, goes from 14, 15, Brendan, up to suppose 36, 37, you know. So we've got a wide range of players. There's some of them up in the county under 16 trailing at the minute. There's some of them in the minors. There's an awful lot of work being done in Downing's with the underage, you know, the under 14s and stuff. Charles Coyle and Peter McGittigan and them kind of people really putting their shoulder to the wheel. And you see it, you know, like you walk into the local shop and they're chatting about football. People are chatting to you about football that, you know, you didn't even think knew where the pitch was, you know. But it's great for the parish. It's great for the wee club. We have a massive draw on at the minute too, and it helps to push with that as well. You're staying in the media, you're staying highlighted, you know. So it's great for the area. It's great for everybody involved in the club. And more so, you know, these young girls, wee girls, whatever however you want to call them, are out on that pitch three times a week, you know, giving it everything. So from that point of view, you know, it's great for everybody involved, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, listen, on behalf of everybody here, Barnaby, we want to wish us all the best. Ulster final, it's a big day, and we want you to take that trophy back, hey, and we'll get a chat to you then. Hey, you might be a wee bit hoarse the next time I'm talking to you, but that'll be a good thing.
100%, no bother. And hey, thanks Highland. I was even chatting to them over the day. I'd like to thank Highland for all the coverage. Hey, they're unbelievable. I think they're the front runners when it comes to covering ladies football in all the counties. You know, they're really, really good. So thanks a million for all that. And hopefully see you down at the game and stuff.
You will indeed, Barney. You will indeed. Fair play. Good luck with it, sir.
All right. Thanks a million.
Okay. Great. Okay. That's Barney Cournier, Downing's manager. After the break, I'm going to have a couple of words with Dalton Malloy here. He's graced us with his presence in studio. Then Michael McMullen will be coming into the conversation as well. I'll chat to you after the break. Yes, folks, welcome back. This is a GAA show, and part of the GAA is the score. I was down in Inverhall at the weekend. I just want to say well done to everybody involved. It's the first time I'd really seen score in action. I'd always heard bits and pieces about it, but, you know, you've clubs from all over the county representing, young people representing. This was Scorn and Oag, and there's two down from Unions, Katie Coyle, won after she defended actually her title from last year. She's county champion. My own boy Matthew was in it as well with a recitation, and fantastic day. Well done to everybody down there. Mary Coughlin was down there, our county chairman, and there was a whole Kieran Kelly and all the club stalwarts, of course, they're buzzing still from Pater Mogan's All-Star, himself and Oisin, fantastic stuff. Dalton Malloy, you could be in score, could you? A bit of a performer.
How do you qualify for it?
You have to have a wee bit of talent.
Right, that'll be me out
there. Is it? No. Dalton, do you know what? Thanks for coming up. Barry got detailed there earlier. We're just having a bit of a chat, just Dalton, of what you made of getting into management this season and what you made of club football in Donegal. Did you enjoy it? I know obviously you won the championship, but what was your feeling getting into that side of things from your playing days?
I suppose it makes it a bit more enjoyable when you do win it, Brendan. But I must say, like from the start of the season, I really loved it from day one. Throughout the year, a lot of learning, you know, from learning off yourself, off Sharks and Barry, and then the players themselves, you know. So I just loved being involved. You know yourself, I moved away when I was 22 to England, and I only got back a couple of years ago, so I missed out on a lot of football, I felt, with St Noonan's, but just to be involved with the senior team again was really enjoyable this year, yeah.
Yeah, and is there aspirations there? Because I know initially the two boys came up to me and we talked about it, and me and you's good mates, obviously, and you said you wanted to come on. I think that's very important for a club, you know, to promote and take people in, and because, listen, the experience of that there is going to stand to you, you know, no matter what happens in the future. So is that something you want to keep doing, coaching?
I think so. Like, as I say, I really enjoyed it. And I suppose a couple of years ago, that, you know, when the old injuries like start happening more and more so, and then, you know, you can't really play to the certain level that you would like to play anymore. And listen, I'm 36 now as well, but I always felt like I'd like to give it the coaching a go anyway. So no better opportunity than to be involved with my own senior team. So listen, I'll try to continue on as much as I can and keep learning and see where it goes. Like, you know.
And what do you think of Donegal? Obviously the rule change is going to come in, Dalton, so there's no point in us giving off about zonal defending and all that. Now, there obviously still is going to be plenty of zonal defending with 12, but, you know, 12 inside the 45, you know, but Listen, Donegal Club football in general, what did you make of it? League a bit funny, and then Championship very squashed together. That was my feeling, huh?
Yeah, the league's a funny one. Like, you know, I know there's some days myself and yourself and maybe the other lads as well. It's like it's Championship's just completely different competition, and you're just sort of trying to get through the league and try a few different things out with the players, with the team, you know, and it's towards the end of it, you know you're not going to be in the top two. Maybe it's you sort of tails off a little bit, and all you want to do is just play Championship football then. So it just gets a bit more serious then at that later stage of the season. And we had a few tough games, you know, when you're playing the likes of Glenties and Gidor and Kilcarry earlier on, like, you know, they were sort of tighter games. And I suppose, you know, it is very defensive, and in Donegal that's the way it is, and it took a lot of effort to try sort of navigate our way through that.
Yeah.
But I think we did all right. Hopefully now the rules open the game up a wee bit. I think that's what everybody wants in the country, and not just Donegal, but, like, you know, we want to see a more free flowing game. So hopefully the rules do help with that. I'm sure they will in some aspect.
Yeah, and good fun picking teams and coming up to my house for the war room and
up in the Spy Lounge. Aye, that was they were enjoyable evenings.
Normally, me and you don't be drinking cups of tea in the Spy Lounge. You know,
no,
it's not,
the lights normally be turned off as well. but I know it's funny. We were up there scratching our head for hours some evenings trying to pick that team, which is just, you know, when we're blessed with a great talented squad. So, but it was all enjoyable.
Come up a wee bit short against Errol Kieran. One man that knows everything about Ulster club football and all types of football is Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life. Hey, Michael, how are things, sir?
Not too bad. I was looking at your pictures on Facebook over the weekend, Brenton.
Oh, no.
The Sharks and Barry going to join you in either the novelty act or the Keely dancing.
That,
a fancy dress.
That Keely would do. You know, the two lads are brilliant, like I have to say, Dalton. No more. I was just chatting to Daniel earlier, Macaulay. You know, the fact that the four of us was in there, it's great to put your heads together, you know, and I was saying to him about the Armagh scenario and how, you know, with a modern game, there's so much going on. You need as many eyes on it as you can, Michael, you know?
Yeah, and funny, I was listening to your show last week, and you must just have so many regrets about the tail of the end of that game. I thought you were going to win it.
Yeah.
And I think it's needs to be said again, Sean Patton's performance of kicking was just on a different level.
Yes.
And I think it's when you're at a game and you're not taking notes as a journalist, you're just there to watch it. You can see it. Like the kick he kicked to Porrick Boyle that time at 10-all, you're thinking, Unions are winning this. But I'm sure you're fed up hearing that, and you're probably wondering, how would we match up against maybe the likes of a Carrigan or Clannairn if we get through? So,
yes.
And I suppose next year to be getting back there, getting out of Donegal, I suppose.
That's it. Listen, I said the boys after me, all you can do is dust yourself down and go again and just learn from it. I mean, that's sport. You know, I suppose with Unions there, the last game to Glen that they lost by a point, that they probably had the game in their hands. And the disappointing thing is when you have the ball, you know, and you're in control of it late on, you know, that's, I suppose, the thing that gets you a wee bit, that we probably had control of the game. But listen, we couldn't get the 2 points up. I think that was probably one of the big problems in it. But, you know, you mentioned management there. There's plenty of stuff going on, Mal, around the place before you even get to Michael Murphy. But Rory Kavanagh's appointment up in Glen there, what's the feeling? Was there any word of this happening, and big shoes to fill?
Massive shoes to fill, to be honest. Like, Malachy's come in 4 years, you know, in All-Ireland and two Ulster titles and three Derry championships. And for listeners who don't really know the exact Glen story, like, they were serious, you know, they were underachievers for so, so long. Then their well-catalogued group of young players who came through who still couldn't knock down the door, and Malachy was the key that they needed. But I did hear somebody mention Rory Kavanagh's name, but to be honest with you, it was just from the sheer fact they were working out who was available. And from Glenn's point of view, they've sort of an inner circle where half their committee doesn't even know who's picking the manager. They've people who go away, they source somebody, they come back, the committee say yeah or nay, and that's it. And I heard somebody from the club, I was chatting to somebody in the town over the weekend, and they were saying even the fact, like, they're putting the clock back to that day in O'Donnell Park, like, Kieran McFaul was the person who nobody in Derry could tie down at number six. and he put Arundini at 11. Mm. And, you know, it was a curveball, but, you know, that's what they needed to do. And I think Kieran Tobin, if I'm right, put his two up with 10 minutes to go. And then Aaron may have got black carded or that's injured right. or something towards the end. But it wasn't until Michael Warnock, like, I think was it a back pass that Sean Patton picked up or something?
Well, he couldn't.
And that's how fine the margins were. So they obviously liked what they saw, the fact that Cav went in and saw, look, here is what Glenn have and here's what we need to stop. And it nearly worked. So
that was a big factor, you think, Michael, in from that game?
I'm just guessing, but I'm sure that's not lost in the players, because you can imagine what yous are talking about this week about Errigal and where yous nearly did it. I'm sure the Glen boys were looking back after that game thinking, do you know what? A wee bit like Glenties last year, we were so close to going out, and those type of games never really leave you, I don't think. You always remember those type of games, so they'll obviously think, well, Rory's the man, he's now on our side of the line, so if we're coming up against a team who have that type of strength, that maybe that's what he'll be able to do for them. So, and obviously he's a high achiever in terms of a footballer. I think, was he got 6 championships with Unions or something like that there?
Oh, listen, what a player, Club and County. Dalton, Kavanagh didn't give you the shout. No, David O'Hurley, he's up with him. You could be in there yet.
No, I'm more of a Bligh man.
That's right. The Roots wouldn't allow you to do that.
No, definitely not.
Well, what if you give you 30 grand?
Aye, no bother.
There you go. Sorted. Well, I said, but Dalton, big commitment. I mean, we were in there this year with your own club. There's a certain, how do you put this? Obviously, it's your own club and everybody around it, and you know all the players, and know it's your own place. Training's not far from the house. Yeah. Like, you imagine going up the road to that, you know, as Michael outlined there, the achievements the last few years are huge. So you have to kind of, after obviously the defeat to Newbridge, which surprised a lot of people, you have to kind of lift that team. Maybe in some ways that the defeat to Newbridge is a good thing, because they're not going to go through now an Ulster campaign. They're going to very much have time off to settle, and then Kavanagh can start fresh with them next year. So that final defeat, probably from Kavanagh's perspective, is a good thing.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, like, I suppose you're saying the commute's probably about an hour up there, an hour back, and you're up there for a couple of hours. So fair play to Rory and David, like, and wish them all the best, obviously. But I would say, like, with that comes the pressure. Like, they're probably one of the biggest jobs in club football at the minute, and you know, I'd say the minimum will be to win the county championship. That's what they'll be expecting of them. But listen, they're two good lads. Eh? I'm sure they'll have their work cut out. Like, you know, trying to, you know, change the team up and the way they play and get their own ideas across. But good luck to them, mate.
Good luck to them, that's right. Gary Boyle is going to be announced as the new under-20 county manager as well. We want to wish him all the best, Gary. Good man. Frank McGlynn actually stepping on the manager as well, the Donegal and the Donegal legend from Glen Finn. He is taking over his home club as well. Plenty of managerial merry-go-rounds going on. Michael Murphy, Mal, what do you think of that news? Obviously, everybody in Donegal, you know, absolutely buzzing hearing that the big man's coming back. What's the feeling from your feet on the ground around Ulster about the news?
I suppose personally I'm surprised, because he had stepped away and he nearly made peace that he had an unbelievable career. But it sounds as if Jim's one of those people that's very difficult to say no to. And then obviously the much talked about chance to play with a different set of rules. Like, Brendan, imagine being a forward where you can tell the manager, look, I don't need to follow back anymore. Is that not a dream? Is that not a dream to have that sort of role where the rules stop you chasing back?
Yeah.
So maybe that's the role that but Jim Mal, sees
just,
for him.
Just on that, right, if the guy can come to halfway line, you know, you don't have to go after a fella, because he'll start dictating the play from him. He'll be the spare man. So, you know, I know what you're saying. I think obviously it's going to be easier for get you up to the danger point of the team. But out of possession, are we going to find boys coming back around that halfway line, having to track, and when they break, you're still going to need decent legs to get back inside there. You know, I'm trying to visualise how it'll all play out.
I think Yarcock, I'm only joking really about that. Like, I'm not saying that's his reasoning, but...
But you wouldn't want to leave him in there, other.
No,
You'd be brave to go...
That's to the go. Thing about it. And I remember that day in Clonus in 2022, as a dairyman, I was so happy to see him out around the middle, because I think back to that ball that Lacey put into him against Mayo, like, he's a wrecking ball in there. Like, he's he's just tailor-made for it. And I suppose from Jim's point of view, what does he do up there? Because he's got Oisin and, you know, Jamie Brennan's a different type of player. Do you know, who does he put up with him? You know, Patrick McPherty. Like, it's a difficult thing, but maybe it leaves Jim that he's got more options for the three men inside now. But and again, another thing that's probably another significant factor is just the sheer standards that he will bring. You know, not that Jim needs somebody to bring standards to the table, but like young boys coming into the panel, if there's anybody new coming in, you know, like it was Kieran Moore last year. What if there's a new Kieran Moore next year coming in? You know, he's seeing Murphy changing beside him and he's automatically inspired. So that has to add to it as well. Mm. But I think for football now, I don't think defenders will be overly looking forward to the battle of the 1v1 that Murphy will obviously bring. But I think generally football people will like to see him back. But the only thing is, it's not going to be for a long time. You know, it's a short fix. But, you know, he's obviously walked in with his eyes open. Like, he hasn't just decided one day, look, I'm going to go back. He's obviously thought about it.
Do you know what I think it might have been? I think that he'd committed to, you know, his bit of media work and that and what he was doing. And I think that he didn't want to renege on that. So I think probably if I was him now and I was sitting watching that Galway game, you know, a lot of people have pointed the fact, you know, the late free and then that we didn't have the impact from the bench. I'd say he's sitting going, you know, I could have it us in the final, maybe in a little Ireland. And for somebody like him that's heart and soul, Dalton, you know what I mean? Like, it must have really, of all the games, I'd say he killed him a wee bit watching Ulster, but he had make his decision. But I think in that semi-final, he knew, I'm sitting up here commentating or doing pundit in this game, I could be out there and I could make a difference. That must be a wild thing then to make peace with. So I'd say he needed time probably to pull away from those media gigs to say, you know, and I'm not saying he's not worried about that, but I think Michael type him was, he probably committed to something and it was part of it, right? Yeah. That he was retired and that was it. But I think that game, I think it was the Galway game, probably was like thinking, here, I got to give us another shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and we're in the game, we're not that far away from making an All-Ireland final, you know. Like, he's obviously going to be a handful for any defence, you know, when he gets back there. And I think it'll help the other forwards around him as well, especially Oisin Gallan. Like, if you think about any team that Donegal match up with, they're the best defender is going to be on Oisin Gallan. Now they might have to move that to Murphy, you know. So I think it's going to help Oisin's game as well, hopefully. And it's just a great lift for all them lads. Like, I'm sure all them lads up there will idolise him, and you know, he's a real leader. So, but it's a great move by him. Like, he joined the committee to change the rules and suit himself, and then he came out of retirement again. So it's a boss move.
Yeah, yeah. This the little cute whore thing. Other counties would never really be put her away, but Mal, was that a master stroke?
He put Donald Trump into second place that day.
listen, if it was some movement, listen, it's just so hard, because if this was just Murphy going into a normal season, you'd be trying to think, where's his role, what's he going to do? Until we see how these games go, particularly when a team needs to win a match, how they play out the match or what way each team tactically sets up, well, not really, because a lot of that's going to dictate kind of Murphy's impact on it, where he's played, what way he's played, the timing of that playing. So there's so many questions there. But as you said, Mal, there's so many other aspects to having him back in terms of, as you were saying there, his overall kind of nearly aura on the team that he's there. Listen, he's the go-to man for years, and it was a big loss to the team when he left. So to have him back there in some capacity, and I suppose for him himself, he had to make peace with even that capacity role, because, you know, when he left initially, he was the man and that was it. Now he's probably going to have to taper his role somehow. But again, he must be thinking that the team is there, that they're very close to something special, and he wants to finish it on that note.
Well, they are very close. Like, I did fancy us to beat Galway last year, and like, it was even the fine margin was that Kieran Thompson touched the ball on the ground, and a few seconds later, Rob Finnerty did the same, only he had his arm underneath it. And that was maybe the difference in two frees that could have took Donegal to the big Sunday. That's how close it was. And maybe Murphy's looking at that and thinking, well, it's, look, Armagh are a team that, like, there's, Lee Geezer even said after the final whistle, it'll be about five or six teams would think they could beat us next year. So it is really, really open. And he's maybe thinking, why not? And if he is that extra ingredient, and like, we did talk about the three up, Brenton, but even if it's the 2-point arc, Like he's a brilliant kicker of the ball.
Mm.
And if, for example, just throw this out here. If he is the man that's in the 2-point arc, teams are maybe going to double up on a Michael Murphy out there. And then Oisin Gallon's maybe inside one-on-one, and as you say, the second best defender. Then maybe he gets a goal chance. So that's the exciting bit that I see about the rules, to be honest. You know, what way the 2-point versus leaving men inside works. I'm glad they got out of the 4 points for a goal, because I think that would have tempted managers into complete shutdown, like with a capital C. This way, as I said, Murphy might be double marked as a 2-point man out the field, and it might just change the way teams go to defend against Donegal.
Mm. I was in the middle of, I don't know where I was going at the time, but I didn't see them Railway Cup games, but Tony Scullion wants me to go on some webinar with him and Aaron Kieran to talk about these rules, and I haven't seen them. So I was on to my day, I said, going to email me them games to get a look at it, because I'm just trying to get my head around them. For me, really, I just thought, leave four up, and I would have scrapped the rest of the rules, marks a whole lot of it. I would have kept the keeper inside the zone 45. Mm-hmm. And that would have been my two rules. I'd be happy enough for that. I think four up is enough that you're going to have to kick it to them, you know, and it's going to cause enough problems. And that they would have been two rule changes. I'd be happy enough for that.
Yeah. I don't even understand why they would change the scoring. I don't think there's a need for that either.
140 years of point, you know, point and three, you know, I just think it could, like, a team's a point up and somebody gets a free just outside the arc or whatever. I don't know.
No, I'm not sure. And to be honest, I haven't seen them games either. But the other thing about it is, Brendan, like, them Railway Cup games, they're very open in a way. If you didn't have them rules, like, they'd be guaranteed to be free flowing, they'd be high scores in a way. You know, it's a way. So I don't know. Hopefully, there's a trial period where there's more competitive games and get a proper idea if they are going to work or not and make a difference.
Yeah, magic. Mal, listen, we're running down time. Mal, Aaron Gale, Scotstown, was postponed to be playing this week. Kilcoo coming through after a wee bit of a tussle with Crossyer Lough, Ergil Kieran, far too much for Carrigan. I think you were at the Clannairn Newbridge match as well.
I was at it. Very, very even.
Yeah.
And funny, you're just talking about rules. I've been at five or six games in the past 2 weeks where there was no real changes needed, to be honest. Your own game gets slated by a few people, but I thought it was end to end. Like, the energy levels in that second half, it was like watching the game of tennis, up and down, up and down, with Patton as the conductor. But the game yesterday was excellent, and it came down to, it was 12 points all, and Clannairn got a point on the breakaway to put two in it, and that was Shinné at that point. But I think anybody left in the competition, I don't know enough about Aaron Gale's, but they have a really tough test against Scotstown. If Scotstown come through that, as their favour to do, any of those four teams could really win it.
Hmm.
But it would be a big ask for Aaron Gales after 43 years away from, you know, that sort of scene.
Conor Lavery coming on, the down manager, and was involved heavily in that late couple of scores. They got a couple of points later on to beat Crossyer Lough as well. They definitely put it up to them at Park Gessler.
They did, and they'll have regrets too. I was only watching this one in fits and starts. You know, I didn't sit down and watch it properly, but Crossyer Lough had a chance near the end. Like, it's a wee bit like your game with Errigal. It's always decided in the fine moments at the end. James Smith snatched at a shot when they were one down, whenever a more experienced team might have just tried to work the score, like they did with Ben McDonald, where you had doubled up on the Canavans and you've got somebody else, whereas Crossyer Lough just maybe weren't streetwise enough. And that's probably the disappointing factor, where when you get out of your county every 3 or 4 years, you don't have that sort of bank of playing those type of games.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you'll probably want to get out of Donegal next year, where you can finish what you sort of started. But that's the difficult thing, is you just don't know. And Crossyer Lough are in that same sort of boat.
Is that a fair point, though? Did you think that, you know, and I know we were talking about before the game, that the only thing you can look, really, some of the boys obviously were involved in that Oma game way back, was it 14, where they lost an extra time. Then you have Glenn. So if you're involved in that, you've got to take experience from it, like Mal's saying there. And it's no coincidence that the McIlcoo come up with the goods later on, because they're controlled in those plays. And does it in some way, the ease of which Ergil beat Carrigan then, that you're kind of thinking, how close things are at that level.
I know. We knew it was going to be tight anyway, either way, that Ergil game. And it was probably going to come down to, you know, a kick of a ball, which it was. Listen, it's a long way back to get back there. And Ulster, all you want is another crack at Ulster. Like, you know, but you have to navigate your way through Donegal again, which isn't easy. But hopefully, you know, that group of lads are back there soon enough, you know. And I think experience does help, you know. Like we showed great resilience this year. You know, we went down to the wire a couple of times and we came through it, you know. So going into injury time, going to point up, I thought we were, you know, we were there, like, you know. But unfortunately, it didn't go that way. But all you can do is learn from it, you know. We'll have to learn from it. Well, the four of us will be sitting down again, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. And
will we,
eh? We will, yeah. And
we have the exclusive here in Ireland.
Sky Lounge again. But anyway, you have to learn
from
it. You
just want to come up this band. Listen, lads, we're down the last couple of seconds. Mal, give us your hot tip then. Are you going to go with the old safety here in Ulster? Have you a sneak for somebody else? It's kind of hard, hard to call.
I think any of them can win it, to be honest. I was thinking about this whenever you said we were talking about the Ulster club. I think anybody, really. You could say the safe old bet of Kilcoo because they've been there, but yes. I believe anybody can win it. Yes. You know.
Right, first class. Well, listen, Mal, we'll be keeping tabs on that as the weeks go on now in this fascinating Ulster Championship, Ulster Club Championship, as ever. Mal McMullen of Gaelic Life, thanks for joining us this evening. Dalton Malloy, up the spy lines now for a cup of tea.
No bother.
Joe Dex, thanks so much for producing.
Thank you.
Everybody, stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions coming up. They'll get things going. Next week we'll be talking more Ulster Club. We'll also have a couple of wee score performances for you. I'll speak to you then.